Well, this morning we're going to continue in our series on destiny, call, and purpose. And so it's been a couple weeks with Pastor Lisa speaking and then Steve McGarry speaking last week. And so today we're going to pick it up again. And so this is part three. And we've been on this journey of exploring the life of Joseph, right? The son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham. And what can we learn about Joseph or from Joseph about our destiny, call, and purpose? Were you created with purpose for a purpose? Right? It's not a rhetorical question. Ultimately, every single person needs to decide for themselves, were you created with purpose for a purpose? How you answer that question will determine how you live your life, is the reality. And we've been looking at this life of Joseph, and so far we studied in Genesis chapter 37 about Joseph's childhood. So we learned about his family, his night dreams of sort of being raised up to a position of prominence over his brothers, mother, and father, his brothers' anger, and how they sold him into to the Ishmaelites or the Midianites, and that how Joseph, from his father, he experienced love and favor as a child. So he had a measure of love and favor. But also his childhood was marked by hatred, jealousy, rejection, trauma, fear, pain, abandonment, neglect, and slavery. His childhood was full of all of that. Some of you guys can relate. You've had hard childhoods, right? And so as we've read about Joseph, it brings stuff up. It makes it real for you. Is it possible to still have a destiny, call, and purpose coming from a rough childhood? Right? That's a good question. The Midianites take Joseph to Egypt. They sell him to Potiphar, who's the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. And then in Genesis 39, we get a snapshot of what life was like for Joseph under Potiphar. Right? He quickly moved up to a place of leadership within the household of Potiphar. Oh, interesting. That has some semblances to his dreams, right? There was this leadership call or a question about it, right? We've been talking about it as like a seed that God planted, and then we start to see some of the fruit of that. But then there was the temptation from Potiphar's wife. Joseph takes a stand to walk in the fear of the Lord, and where does it lead him? Prison. He's falsely accused, and he's thrown into prison. You guys want to walk in the fear of the Lord? Yeah. Yeah, but quickly, it's interesting, he rises up to a place of prominence within the prison. He's given a lot of authority within that context. And remember, Joseph's destiny, call, and purpose, it originated not with Joseph, it originated with the heart of God. It's God's heart for everybody, every single person's destiny, call, and purpose. It's how he created you, right? When He formed you in your mother's womb. Even before you were in your mother's womb, he had a plan and a purpose. And God revealed it in seed form to Joseph in his dreams, but Joseph couldn't make it come to pass, just like you and I can't make our destiny, call, and purpose come to pass. Joseph could either lean into it or he could reject it. When opportunities rose for him to lean into his destiny, call, and purpose, he could lean into it. Or he could say, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. That's not what I want my life to be about. I'm going to choose this path over here. And you and I all have that same choice. We can go where God's taking us, or we can go our own way. The enemy will try to do whatever he can to destroy, delay, or deter us from walking in our destiny, call, and purpose, right? He came to rob, kill, and destroy. He loves that. The good news, it's not my notes, but Jesus wins, right? He's not afraid of the enemy. He's not intimidated by the enemy. He's not, there's nothing about the enemy that causes Jesus to be overwhelmed. And as he is, we sang this song, as he is, so are we. So there's nothing that should cause us or that has the power to cause us to be overwhelmed by the enemy. That's really, really good news. Even in the midst of Joseph's brothers, right, thinking about killing him and then ending up selling him, even with Potiphar and her or Potiphar throwing Joseph in prison, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, that couldn't stop Joseph's destiny, call, and purpose. His destiny, call, and purpose is still alive, right? Even through all the hardship, all the heartache, all of the misunderstandings, everything that was meant to derail him or take him out could not stop his destiny, call, and purpose. Now, he was farther removed, right? As soon as he was thrown into prison, thrown into Egypt, he's farther removed from his family. Thrown into prison, he's even farther removed from the possibility of whether he'll even see his father again, his mother again, his brothers again, right? It seems impossible that Joseph would ever be in a place of leadership over his father, mother, and brothers. But again, as long as there's life, there is hope. And so this morning, we're going to keep running with the journey. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 40. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. So sometime, anybody know how long sometime is? I don't know how long that is. It doesn't sound good. But so he's been in prison for a while. Sometime after he was put in prison, he moved up to this place of leadership. And then we have the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. They commit offenses against Pharaoh and they're thrown into prison. And they're placed in prison with Joseph and sort of under his care. Verse 4 says, the captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. So they're placed under Joseph's care and more some time passes. Again, we don't know how long that is. Verse 5, one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, why are your faces downcast today? Right? Joseph noticed there's something different about them today, something odd. And they said to him, we have had dreams and there is no one to interpret them. They should have come to Grace Fellowship. Right? If you're visiting, we have dream interpretation every second Sunday. Next Sunday, you can come and get your dream interpreted. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. So the cupbearer and the baker having these troubling dreams, is it a coincidence they happened on the same night? Probably not, right? And Joseph noticed they're troubled. They say they've had dreams. No one can interpret them. Joseph says, God is the one who interprets dreams. I know a God, right, who can interpret dreams. And so he asked them to tell him their dreams. So the chief cupbearer goes first, right? It says, the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, there was a vine before me. On the vine, there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into this pit. So the cupbearer goes first, right? And he gets a very favorable interpretation. 3 days, you're going to get put back into your position of serving Pharaoh, but please do me a favor, remember me. Right? When it's well with you, please do me the kindness to mention to Pharaoh and get me out of prison. I haven't done anything wrong. There's no rightful reason for me to be where I currently am. remember the injustice in my life. Verse 16, you have the chief baker. He says, that sounded pretty good. I think I'll share my dream. It says, when the chief baker saw the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. Wow, that's not so favorable, right? Verse 20, on the third day. So this is the question. So I don't know about you, but I don't know where Joseph learned how to interpret dreams. Like, the only mention we have of Joseph is these two dreams that he had when he was younger. And it seems like there's some insight into those. But from that point on, there's no mention of Joseph sort of sitting in Potiphar's house interpreting other servants' dreams or Potiphar's dreams. There's no mention of the prison guard sort of sharing, everybody line up, share your dreams with Joseph. But it seems like Joseph has this natural thing that just flows. The dream was given, and he had an immediate interpretation. Obviously, he's the one who shared that God is the one who interprets. But he has to attach faith to what he senses God is speaking about these dreams. And so where's the real test? The test is, does the interpretation actually come to pass? Right? You can give any interpretation. Does it actually come to pass? On the third day, verse 20, it says, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants, lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Right? 3 days later, the moment of truth. What's going to happen? Everything that Joseph interpreted did indeed come to pass. It was accurate. And yet the chief cupbearer didn't remember Joseph. He forgot him. And he forgot him for a long time. Because the first verse in chapter 41 says, after 2 whole years. So another 2 years in prison. Maybe 2 years doesn't feel like a long time to you. But it's a long time, I think, if you're in prison. I would imagine. I don't know. It says, after 2 years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump. They fed in the reed grass, and behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them, stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. What should that tell us? Be careful of ugly, thin cows. And Pharaoh awoke, and he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. Behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. So after 2 years, here we have Pharaoh, he has 2 dreams in one night, and he's troubled, and none of his magicians or the administrative people within his regime, no one there can interpret his dreams. And in verse 9, it says, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servant, put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. And a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. It's like, oops, I forgot to say this. I know a guy, right? He interpreted our dreams, and his interpretations were indeed accurate. Verse 14, it says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. When he had shaved himself, changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Right? So imagine what it would feel like for Joseph. Like before we even know the full context of what's going on, he's been in prison for some time. There's no hope of him ever getting out of prison other than God. And then Pharaoh calls for him. That could go really, really well, or that could go really, really bad, right? He's taken from the pit, presented to Pharaoh, and he gets this audience with Pharaoh, albeit some interesting circumstances. Like imagine you get a phone call today. You need to report to the White House to meet with President Trump, right? Or you're from another nation who has a king, you need to report to the king. It could be very intimidating, especially if you don't know for sure the why. You don't know how is this response going to be. Is he going to like what you have to say, right? Is she going to like, right, what you have to say? Pharaoh tells Joseph, I hear you are a man who interprets dreams. And Joseph says, it's not me. Which I think represents humility. Joseph has a right perspective of who he is. And he says, God's the interpreter of the dreams. It's God. He can interpret your dream. He'll tell you what your dream means. And then Pharaoh tells Joseph his dream. And again, Pharaoh tells Joseph, and none of my magicians or wise counselors could interpret these dreams. And in verse 25, Joseph says to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. Now remember, Pharaoh doesn't worship the God of Joseph. How is he going to respond to Joseph talking about this God? Because in Pharaoh's eyes, who's God? He is, right? Ultimately, there's gods they worshiped in Egypt, but ultimately the Pharaoh was the ruler of everything. And yet here's Joseph. He just got out of prison, right? He's sold into slavery, shoved into prison, and now he's meeting with the highest official in the whole land. And he's speaking with a sense of boldness and confidence, yet in humility, of this God that he worships, that he knows, that he has experienced. It says, it is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God and God will shortly bring it about. Ultimately, Joseph interprets the dream. What's Pharaoh going to think of the interpretation, right? Nobody knows. He offers a suggestion, right? Now think about that for a second. He doesn't just interpret the dream and leave it there. He says, now let me tell you, I know I just came from the pit. I know that they had to give me a shave and change my clothes and so that I'm presentable before you. I'm a slave. An Israelite slave. Yet I'm going to tell you what I think, not just what the dreams mean, I'm going to tell you what I think you should do about it. Right? It's audacious. We read it and we just think, oh, of course, we've read the story over and over. We know that it's true, like this happened. But think about it. It's amazing to me. Joseph's suggestion, now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land, take one-fifth the produce of the land of Egypt during the seven plentiful years. Let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. Where does Joseph get this wisdom? Right? Isn't it interesting? Obviously, every place where he's been put, he moves us to a place of leadership. So he has this gifting to be able to assess a situation and sort of figure out what to do and how to position people in the right places to carry it out. Before Potiphar's wife's false accusation, Potiphar loved Joseph because he didn't have to worry about anything. All he had to worry about was what he was going to eat that day. Right? He trusted him completely. Joseph gets thrown in the prison, and the chief warden, whatever you would call him, he loves Joseph because he doesn't have to worry about anything. Joseph manages the whole prison. It's very interesting. Somewhere along that line, Joseph got some confidence in his ability to assess a situation and be able to release wisdom into that. Obviously, he knows the connection is God. It's not Joseph's great wisdom. All wisdom flows from above. And Joseph can just release that to Pharaoh, the highest person in the land. It is very interesting. The door was open for Joseph to have an audience with Pharaoh. And remember everything that we've already shared this morning about Joseph's childhood. He was hated. He experienced jealousy, rejection, trauma, fear, pain, abandonment, neglect, and slavery. He was falsely accused and thrown into prison. He was forgotten in prison. Don't you think it would make sense that he would be disappointed, sad, angry, or discouraged? But when the doors opened for him to come in and meet with Pharaoh, what does Joseph do? Does he share about all the injustice of his life? Does he share about everything, all the trauma that he's experienced and every bad thing that's ever happened and this? Okay, Pharaoh, now I have your attention, right? Does he share about how he is falsely accused? All the some time he had to spend in prison? No, he doesn't share any of that, right? None of the suffering, none of the trauma. He doesn't share any of that. What does he share? If I could flip my page, I'll tell you. No. When the doors open, he's ready to share about the truth of the living God to Pharaoh, the leader of the land. He doesn't take any glory for interpreting the dreams correctly. He points Pharaoh to God. This is the one you need to know. Don't look at me. Look at him. And I think it indicates that Joseph's heart is actually clean with God. From all of the hurt, all of the ways he was wronged, all the injustice he's experienced over his whole lifetime, somewhere in there he made peace with God, or he wouldn't give God all of the credit that he's giving him in the eyes of Pharaoh. It seems like Joseph doesn't hold God responsible for all of the adverse circumstances that he's faced in his life. Somewhere he made peace. And Joseph's willing to help Pharaoh. Doesn't seem like he's angry at Pharaoh. Doesn't seem like he's even angry with Potiphar or Potiphar's wife or the cupbearer for forgetting him. At least there's no mention of it. Like maybe he had his moments in prison. I don't know. But it seems like all of that's let go. I don't even think that he helps Pharaoh because somewhere in his mind he thinks, now if I help Pharaoh, maybe it's going to go really well for me. Maybe I'm going to get out of prison. Was there any guarantee he was going to get out of prison? Nope. They could have sent him right back. He just came to interpret a dream. That's all he was there for. He did his job. He could have sent him right back. I think Joseph helps Pharaoh simply because it's the right thing to do. And Joseph was a man who walked in the fear of the Lord. What about you and me? When you think about your destiny, call, and purpose, have the circumstances of your life caused you to feel forgotten by God or forgotten by others? Have you questioned what you thought was your destiny, call, and purpose because maybe it isn't coming easily? Like you had a sense, this is where God is taking me. And then it seems like there's a roadblock or diversion, and I got to go over here and then go over here. And it doesn't seem like it's easy. Often in our culture, when things aren't easy, we feel like, well, I probably wasn't supposed to do that. God's trying to get my attention that I'm wrong. It's very interesting. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't seem like what you thought was your destiny, call, and purpose is even possible anymore from where you're standing today. And with all of that, too, how is your heart with God this morning? Have you been able to process any disappointment with Him regarding your destiny, call, and purpose? Like, this is our third time going through this message. It should be stirring some things up potentially within you as you think about your life, right? Is there any ways where things that haven't gone right or have felt like roadblocks or struggles, either from way back in your childhood to your adolescent to your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, depending on how old you are here today, right? You've had a lot of life. I've had a lot of life. How's your heart with God in light of your life? In light of all that's happened, do you truly believe that you were created with purpose for a purpose? And if it's true, are you moving forward in that direction? Or does it feel like God's withholding something from you? I can't answer that question for you. I can only answer for myself, right? But the hope is that somewhere in the process, if there is stuff that has been raised up, either from your childhood or your youth or somewhere in your mid-years, right, up to this point, where it feels like it hasn't gone well, how's your heart with God? And as it caused you to lay down your destiny, call, and purpose in pursuing that, because you have this bitterness or disappointment with God. That needs to get worked out or you won't be clean. I think that's one of the things we see with Joseph is, I don't think that he could stand before Pharaoh pointing him to God if he didn't work through any of that hard stuff. He's not like a superhuman. I guarantee you, if you get sold into slavery, you're going to feel it. Right? Even if your brother just hates you, you're going to feel it, right? If there's somebody who treats you unjustly, you're going to feel it. If you're falsely accused, you're going to feel it. And you're either going to blame God or you're going to blame the other people. And both you need to forgive or you'll never be clean. You'll never be able to be free to soar. And yet it seems like through all the crap that Joseph had to go through, somewhere he came out clean. That gives me a lot of hope, right? All right. Are there individuals in your life who have let you down in one way or another along the way? Have you worked through the pain, anger, bitterness, frustration you've had with them? Have you forgiven them for not following through or forgetting you in some manner? Has anybody ever felt forgotten by another human being? Does that feel good? No, it doesn't, right? Yeah. And so ultimately the question for today's message is, as you think about your life, is your heart clean both with God and with others? And if it's not, as you sit here, and again, you're the only one who can take an honest assessment of yourself. If your heart is not, the goal isn't to condemn yourself. Number one, because there's no condemnation for Christ in, for those in Christ Jesus. Right? He already bore it all on the cross. We just celebrated communion. Jesus took it all. All your guilt, all your shame, all any offense that anybody's ever done to you, he already bore it. He already paid for it. Often we think about the offenses we do, and we receive that from him. What about the offensive done to us? He paid for it already. The worst atrocities that any of you have ever experienced, that I've experienced, anybody listening on the podcast has experienced, the very worst thing, he already paid for it. And what's left for us to do is to release and forgive the individuals who hurt us. And the promise is if we do, then we have freedom. And if we don't, we stay bound. We stay captive. We never have the freedom to soar. And Jesus is the one who gives us grace to actually walk through that painful process of forgiving and releasing and blessings those who have hurt us the most. It's not easy. I won't lie to you. It's not an easy process. But it's a worthwhile process. And it's a possible process. If you're willing to take those steps, he will walk with you every step of the way. Again, he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes when you're processing pain and hurt and anguish from your childhood or your youth or yesterday, it feels like the valley of the shadow of death because it feels like you're dying as you walk through it. And yet he's right there with you, holding your hand, walking with you through it. And that's the good news. Jesus wants each of us to be fully free, to be fully alive. But he can't just zap us. He needs your yes. He needs my yes in order to lead me on the process, in order to lead you on the process. Yeah. The enemy wants us to hold on to our bitterness and our anger and our frustration and our disappointment, because he will do anything to deter and delay and keep us from walking in our destiny, call, and purpose. In any disappointment, bitterness, anger, frustration that we don't work through is an easy way for him to sideline us. And yet the truth is that the enemy is never more powerful than God. Never. Never. Again, I said it already, but God needs your willingness and your courage to receive the grace that he's pouring out. It takes courage to walk through pain. It really does. We get to choose again and again to either lean into or reject whatever God's inviting us into. He can hold it up and say, I know this is going to be painful. I already bore your pain. I already took it on the cross. I feel it. And I'm willing to walk with you in this if you allow me to walk with you. And you can say yes, Or you can say, no thanks. I don't want to look at the pain. I don't want to look at it. I want to just keep living as best as I can and let that sort of stay there. And he will let you do that. And he will love you as you do it. He will just fully love you. It's not like, I'll love you in spite of that. No, I fully love you. And I still want you to be fully free. And so I'm going to keep bringing this up in subtle ways, different messages, different songs that you hear, or you go to the ocean and you're just looking at the landscape and all of a sudden you have a thought that comes to your mind of, oh, so-and-so, or that pain, ooch, ouch, and you're faced with it again. And I think that's the Holy Spirit subtly just trying to get your attention, saying, are you ready? Are you ready now? Do you want to be fully free? It's still available. It's always available. That's the other thing that I think is really powerful. The God of hope is with you. The God of hope is with me. He'll never leave you. And he never changes who he is. He's always the God of hope. He lives inside of you. If you have a relationship with Jesus here this morning, or if you're listening on the podcast, the God of hope lives inside of you. Fully being who he is. And he's continuously breathing life and hope into your life and giving you grace to keep going through every adversity that comes your way. He propels you and he propels me into our destiny, call, and purpose as we yield to him and say yes to him. I do believe you were created with a purpose. I don't care how old you are here today. It's not too late. If you feel like, oh, I've just wasted my whole life, it's not too late. Joseph spent a lot of some time in prison. You just have spent some time, right? It's not too late. You don't know when you're going to get the call, right? Are you ready? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Who wants to play? You're meant to walk in the fullness of who you're created to be. And so this week, my encouragement, there's some things that we'll put up here. Invite God to show you your heart. Ask him. Some of us, we don't know our hearts. Ask him, God, will you show me my heart? Allow him to draw you near to him. Don't just ask him, allow him. His heart is always to draw you near. You don't have to ask him to draw you near. He's made it perfectly clear. He always wants to draw you near. But often we don't allow him. Allow him to draw you near. And then ask for his grace to work through any unforgiveness, right? So if he reveals your heart that there's unforgiveness or disappointment or hard things either with him or with someone else, ask him, God, I need grace. I can't go through this on my own. He's not asking you to, right? But often we think, I have to do the work. Give me grace, Lord, to work through any of this unforgiveness and then receive his freedom. If you're holding on to unforgiveness like this, you can't receive his freedom. You can't. You have to let it go in order to receive something else. And then celebrate who you are and why he created you. Right? You could do that step first. You don't have to go through all the unforgiveness stuff. You could celebrate right here, right now, who you are. And celebrate why he created you. Allow him to propel you further on the journey. Lord, I want more of my destiny, call, and purpose to be unveiled to me this week. I want to walk in it even more. And rest in his delight. The other that I put on my paper this morning as I was going through my notes was similar to Joseph. Like, look for the opportunities to share with others about the truth of who God is. Right? The truth of his power, the truth of his love, or really just what has God done in your life? Like, I think part of a piece of all of our destiny, call, and purpose, because we have a relationship with Jesus, similar to Joseph, right? Joseph didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He had a relationship with the Father. I guess, you know what I'm saying, right? The reality is, Joseph pointed Pharaoh to God. Who can you point to God this week? Are you looking for the opportunities? Right? I guarantee you there will be opportunities to reveal the love of God this week, to reveal the power of God this week, to reveal your story this week. Share with people about how God has transformed your life, right? It is an interesting thing. We're going to pray in a second. I'll let you know next week is going to be part four. I'm still working through the end of Joseph's sort of story, and so I'll let you know next week sort of how many weeks we're going to have. But probably sometime in the middle of July, we'll be done with this series. But I'm going to pray. So Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for every single person that's here, that's listening. Thank you for every person who chooses to listen on the podcast. I pray that if nothing else, that you would meet them with your love this morning. And that they would encounter you for who you really are, the God of love. And they also would encounter you, the God of hope, in a fresh way, that there's hope that's on towards them. There's good things that are coming their way because of who you are and because of where you're seated. You have authority over all things. There's nothing that you don't have authority over. And your heart is both with each listener and for each listener, whether they have a relationship with you or not. And so I pray that they would encounter the truth of who you are in a fresh way. And then, Lord, would you meet each individual with just subtle reminders this week of the truth of their destiny, call, and purpose? For those who are just starting to look at it, would you just awaken it for them? Like the sun rising in the morning, would you just awaken it? Or like a seed that just starts to sprout, would you awaken it? That they could say, ah, there's life. There's something there. I pray that for those who have sort of explored it before, but sort of set it down, that there would be ways where they pick it back up again. And they say, yep, I want to keep moving forward. And then God, would you meet them right in that place and show them just what's the next step? They don't have to have it all figured out, but what's the next step? What's the step they could take today or this week to move them closer into walking in the fullness of their destiny, call, and purpose? And obviously, Lord, for those who are willing to go through sort of a heart check this week, would you meet them in that heart check? And would you reveal just with your light any places in their lives where they're holding on to unforgiveness or disappointment or bitterness or hurt for any, either against you or against another human being, where they've experienced injustice, something that they haven't worked through that is hindering them from walking in the fullness of their destiny, call, and purpose. And would you allow them to start the process or continue the process of walking with you through it? And ultimately, Lord, would you pour out your grace like you promised over every single individual to accomplish what they can never accomplish on their own, and in this case, to walk through what's extremely hard and painful. But with you, it actually is possible, and it's life-giving. And so I pray for just an immense outpouring of grace over the people of grace and any visitors or people listening who don't have a connection to grace but are listening. An outpouring of grace this week to walk through things that maybe they have held on to for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. That this is the week where they get free. They finally get free. It's a really good time because we worship a God where nothing's impossible. And so, Lord, I pray that those types of encounters would happen this week for your glory, and that the fullness of life would be continued to be released in each individual's life. We thank you that you already won. And that you are in the business of exposing the plots and plans of the enemy to keep us bound and captive from walking in the fullness of who we were created to be. And so, Lord, we celebrate your light this week. Did you give us eyes to see? Yeah. We want to be clean with you, and we want to be clean with every single human being on the face of the planet, those who have already passed away and those who are currently with us. We want to be clean. We want to walk clean. We want to be free. And so, Lord, that feels really big, and yet the reality is nothing's impossible with you. So that's, I believe, what you have for us. Just like we see in Joseph's life, it seemed like he came through this hard, hard stuff. He came out clean. I pray that the same would be true for every single person who hears the sound of my voice. No matter what they've experienced that's been hard in their life, that they would come out the other side clean because of your power. Yeah. And I do pray that you would allow us to rest in your delight this morning. You're not waiting for us to do something to pour out your delight. You're not waiting for us to stop doing something to pour out your delight. Your delight is on. It never stops. Would you allow us to receive it? And that everything we do this week, we'd be operating from a place of rest, resting in this truth, right proximity with you. Yeah. Thanks, Jesus. And praise for those who are debating whether they want to lean into their destiny, call, and purpose, or they want to head the other way. I pray for your grace on those decisions this week. Yeah. Would you reveal yourself to each person in the deciding place? Yeah. And we just ask that you would seal this word. Obviously, highlight the things in the message that are meant to be highlighted for each individual. We trust you, Holy Spirit, to take it, to plant it, to help it to produce a harvest in our lives. For your glory. Yeah. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.